Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn me to the Gospel of John. We've pretty much finished our series on 1 Corinthians 13. We may go back to it a little later, but right now we want to take a break from that. And turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 35. And I believe that God's got some good things in store for us. John chapter 4, verse 35. Say not that there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already for harvest. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you today in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus. I ask you, Father, Lord, that you would just continue what you have begun, Lord, in our worship service. That the anointing of the Lord that breaks every yoke, that breaks every chain, O Lord, would, Father, begin to just fill this place, O Lord, each and every, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, O God. And that you would move upon the hearts of your people today and speak, Father, Lord, to them the things, O God, that is pertaining to life today. And we'll give you all praise and we'll give you all glory and all honor. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Here in John chapter 4 and verse 35, Jesus lays out a great principle that every one of us here today ought to learn, okay? And you say, well, what is that principle, Pastor Rick? That principle is this: not to look at the way things are, but to look at what you desire as if you have already had them. Let me say that again. Don't look at the way things are, but to look at what you want or what you desire as if you have all that you already have them. Bethany, would you turn this monitor down for me just a little bit? It's a little hot. Thank you. Amen. Jesus is speaking like a prophet here. A prophet very seldom ever described the process of something. When a prophet would see something, or when a prophet would get a vision from God, very seldom did he ever go into the description of telling you how these things were going to go about. But rather, he just described the end results. This is what's going to happen. He would just speak those ways. And he would speak it as though it had already happened. How many realize that? The prophet always spoke in the present tense. In other words, this is what's going to happen, but it's as though it's happening right now. And even if they didn't understand what they saw, they simply described it as though it had already taken place. And that's what Jesus is doing right here. Jesus is saying, don't say that there is 4 months and then there'll be the harvest. You see, right there, when he's speaking that word, he's looking upon the harvest, but you know what? It was too early for the harvest. How many realize that? There was no fruit. There was no grain. But he says, look unto the fields. Don't say there's yet 4 months. He says, but I want you to look into the fields and see they're white. They're already ready for the harvest. Hallelujah. Jesus said, don't look, but look beyond with what your eyes can see. What Jesus is saying here is saying, use your imagination here. Have you realize that imagination is a God-given gift that God's given to you and I? Amen? God's saying, Jesus is saying to you and I, use your imagination. When you look on the field and you see that there's no fruit out there, use your imagination and see that those things are already there, that it's ready and ripe for unto harvest. If you look with a natural eye, all you'll see is what's been planted. You can't see the harvest. But Jesus said what? Lift up your eyes. In other words, use your imagination through the eyes of faith. When you do that, you will see that the fields, that they are ready, they're white, ready unto harvest. When we use our imagination, how many realize that's how you and I can see through faith, through the eyes of faith? How many realize that? We talk about looking through the eyes of faith. How does that happen? It's when you and I use our imagination to see what is not there. How many realize that this morning? If we look at the world through the natural eye, you know what we see? We see what? Corruption. We see deception. We see heartache. We see a world that has literally gone crazy. We see a world that is bound with sin. How many realize that? In fact, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, it says, "But as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." We don't know what the son of, days of Noah was like. Turn over to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. It tells us. And listen to what God said. God said, "I saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth." And listen to this. "Every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continuously." God said every thought, every imagination that man had was on evil. That sounds a lot like our world that we're living today, doesn't it? Every thought is on evil. When I look at our world and I turn on the TV and I see what's going on in our world, it makes me shudder. But you know, it doesn't only make me shudder, but I think, you know, that's the way it was in the days of Noah, that our thoughts are on evil and the world's thoughts are on evil continuously. Hallelujah. We know that Jesus is going to be coming soon. Can you say amen? You see, if you and I are going to change the world in which we live in, we've got to allow Jesus to change us. How many realize that? We've got to let Jesus come upon us and change us. We have to lift up our eyes. We have got to look with faith upon the fields. We have to see a faith by faith and see that they're white, ready unto harvest. We've got to stop saying in 4 months the harvest will come. Jesus said, don't say that there's 4 months and then the harvest. Jesus is saying, I'm telling you right now, lift up your eyes because the fields are white and they're ready to harvest. You see, we have a tendency to do that, don't we? We have a tendency to say 4 months. We look at the world and we say, well, maybe someday the world will change. Maybe someday, we say, in essence, we're saying, in 4 months, something will take place. We look at the world and we say that we look at our dreams and we look at our visions and we really don't believe that they're going to come to pass. So we say 4 months, or maybe one day these things will happen. Maybe they'll come to pass. We see our loved ones, our sons and our daughters, and you know what we say? One day, maybe one day they'll come to Jesus. Can I tell you something? One day may be one day too late. One day may be one day too late. One day that Jesus will come. That is not faith. How many realize that? In fact, Jesus tells us not to do that. In John chapter 27, verse 4, Jesus says this, "Judge not according to appearance." And isn't that what we're doing? We're looking at a situation through the eyes of our natural mind. And what do we see? We see that it's not right. We see it's not good. We see that our children are away from God. And what do we say? We say, oh, maybe one day they'll come. But what we're doing, we're judging by appearance. When you and I judge by appearance, we're not acting out of what God told us to do. He said for you and I to operate in faith. If it's not faith, the Bible says it is sin. You and I are to operate out of faith. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Hallelujah. Do you realize everything that we see in our physical eye at one time was just a dream or just a vision inside of a man? You realize that? Everything that we see, these pews that you were sitting on at one time was just a dream in somebody's mind. You know what? They were sitting on those old rickety plywood or board benches. You know what I'm talking about? And somebody said, you wouldn't it be nice if we had padded pews? How many love padded pews? Amen. Padded pews. So somebody took out a pen and in their imagination, you know what they did? They began to sketch out a pew that'd be more comfortable for you and I. And then, you know what? Out of that, it became a reality. But before that, it did not exist. How many realize that? This pulpit that I'm standing did not exist except in the eyes and the imagination of a man or a woman who thought it up one day and said, I'm gonna build a podium. And they begin to operate in that thing. So just because you can't see something doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It exists somewhere. It might be just inside of your head. But what you and I've got to realize is we got to get things out of our head, amen, and begin to see it, put it in reality, hallelujah, and begin to step out in faith and let God use us. Hallelujah. Everything was just, everything with our physical eye was just a dream or a vision. You know, people say, well, I only believe what I can see. I only believe the facts. But did you know that everything that we call facts today was just a dream or just a vision? Before man was able to fly, you know what they said? Man cannot fly. You know what they would say? They would say, if God intended man to fly, he'd have created him with wings. How many know that? But you know what? Two brothers didn't believe the facts of their day. Orville and Wilbur Wright didn't believe the facts. You know what they believed in? They believed in their vision. They believed in their dream. And guess what? Their vision and their dream became the facts. Boy, I don't know if y'all got that or not, but that was like, whew, for me. What am I saying? I'm saying that my vision and my dream, though it might not be manifesting right now, I might not be able to see it physically with these eyes, in my mind, hallelujah, in my heart, hallelujah, I can see it taking place as though it's already taken place. Why? Because it's in my mind and it will become a fact. Amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because I'm believing God to bring it to pass. They believed in their dream. They believed in their vision. And it became facts. What I'm saying this morning is this. Let's not get hung up on the facts. Because what we call facts at one time was just a vision and just a dream. You know, there are people today that are multi-millionaires. At one time, they didn't have a thing. At one time, they had nothing. All they had was a dream and a vision. Let me realize that. All they had was a dream. All they had was a vision. And there are those people today that are multimillionaires who took that dream, who took that vision, amen, and they worked that dream and they worked that vision. They didn't lose it. They held on to it. And they said, hey, I'm not going to say in 4 months, I'm not going to say one day this will happen. No, in their mind, it had already happened. And you know what? They talked to other people and they got other people to invest. And as they begin to invest and begin to work toward it, guess what? It became facts in their lives. And it made them millionaires. Wouldn't you like to be a multimillionaire? Yes, Jesus, I really would. Can I tell you something this morning? You may be sitting on an idea that'll make you a multimillionaire. But can I tell you something? You'll never spend a dime of it if it stays right here. Or if you say yet 4 months. I mean, what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Listen, facts may say it can't be done. But until, hallelujah, oh, until you put feet to it, until you believe it, till you reach out, let me tell you, God can change the facts, amen? Hallelujah. You know, the facts may be that you might have an empty bank account, amen? But I want you to know the facts can change, aren't they? The facts can change. You know what? You might not have a dime in the bank, and you might get an email, or you might get a phone call tomorrow that says you got a rich uncle that died and left you $1 million. Lord, I don't want anybody to die, but Lord, remember me. Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? The facts can change. Just because a bank account says I don't have anything doesn't mean that I don't have anything. Amen. Vision can become facts. Hallelujah. When I look at the empty bank account, you know what we say? We say, oh, in 4 months, hopefully we'll get something. We look at our situation and we say, oh, in 4 months, something will change. We look at our loved ones who knew Jesus and we say, yet 4 months. But in 4 months, they could be gone. As long as you and I are saying, yet 4 months, we will never possess it because faith is now. Let me say that again. As long as we say 4 months, we'll never possess it because faith is now. You say, where do you get that, Pastor Rick? I get it right out of this book. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says this, now faith. Amen? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. How does the just live, the Bible says? The just shall live what? By faith. How do we live by faith? Oh, we live by faith, by the substance of things that we hope for. The things that we have in our imagination. And it's the evidence of those things which we have not seen yet. Jesus said in Mark 11, verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them." And what? You might get them. You shall have them. You shall have them. In other words, we are pushing away from us the realization of what we are asking for by saying, "Yet 4 months." You know, when we pray and we don't believe that we're going to receive what we pray for, we shouldn't pray. How many realize that? We're praying in vain. But when you and I come, you say, "Well, Pastor, I prayed and it didn't happen." Oh, but you know what? It can happen right here in your imagination. How many realize that? I can see it. Hallelujah. Oh, I can see myself whole. I can see myself with a happy marriage. I can see myself prospering. Where do I do it? Right here. You say, "Well, that's not reality." Oh, let me tell you, it might not be reality yet, but hallelujah. I tell you what, I'm closer for it to being reality while I'm thinking about it here than I am when I'm doubting about it. Can you say amen? Because God's Word tells us, believe that you receive, that you're going to have those things. And what does He say? He says, "And ye shall have them." In other words, quit pushing it away by doubt. We are constantly making the future way out there in the distance. The principle that Jesus is teaching us is this: we have to see it now before we can ever have it here. We've got to see it now before we can ever get it here. Are y'all with me this morning? Oh man, y'all look at me like I've got 4 heads today. Hallelujah. Don't say, "Yet 4 months and then the harvest comes." "Behold, I say unto you," Jesus said, "lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes, lift up your eyes upon the fields. They are white, they are ready for harvest." Can I tell somebody this morning? Get your eyes off of your situation this morning. Get your eyes off of the situation this morning. Oh, what you have prayed for, what you're desiring, what you want to have. Don't say, "Yet 4 months." No, what you say is you look for it, and you imagine it in your head right now as though it has happened right now today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes unto the field. They are white, ready unto harvest. What Jesus was saying is start seeing it now. What you can't see with your eyes, start seeing through the eyes of faith. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and I love this. He writes and he prays this prayer to them. He prays that the eyes of their heart might be enlightened. In other words, he's saying, I want you to see with your heart. Not through these eyes here. I want you to see through with your heart. And he's saying, I'm praying that God will open your heart that you might see. The only way you and I can see the things that we cannot see is with our heart. How many realize that? When you can't see with your eyes, you can see with your heart. In fact, the only true way that you can see that which is not there is seeing it out of your heart, out of that desire that you desire to have. That's good preaching, folks, I'm telling you. I do say so myself. This is what Jesus did when He fed the multitudes. How many realize that? In John chapter 6, verse 5, Jesus then, what did it say? Lifted His eyes. And He saw the great multitude coming to them. And He said unto Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" What did Jesus do? He looks upon this great crowd that is coming. He lifted His eyes. He saw the need, and then he says to Philip, "Where are we going to get money to buy food for bread for all these people?" But I like what the rest of that verse says. You know what it says? It says, but He already knew what He was going to do. Hallelujah. The crowd did not daunt Him. Amen. He knew, hallelujah, that He was going to feed every one of them. Why? Because He lifted His eyes above the need and focused on not on His lack, but on His God. Jesus lifted his eyes from the need. He lifted his eyes from the lack. Again, in John chapter 11, chapter 41, verse 41, at the tomb of Lazarus, you know what the Bible says? Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Listen, when you look down, all you can see is pain. How many realize that? But when I look up, you know what I see? I see healing. When I look down, all I see is war. But when I look up, you know what I see? The Prince of Peace. When I look down, all I can see is death and destruction. But when I look up, I see the one who conquered hell and death and the grave. Can you say amen? When I look down, all I see is despair. But when I look up, I see hope. Hallelujah. A hope in Jesus, Him, His name. Hallelujah. Jesus said, look up. Because when you look up, He said, that's when your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. I don't think you got that. He says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. When Jesus lifted up His eyes, you know what happened? He moved into a dimension that saw the way, in a way of seeing that could only see by faith. He moved into an area. Can I tell you, when you lift up your eyes, you move into a different dimension where you can begin to see things not as they are, but as they should be and as you have desired to see. Hallelujah. Lift up your eyes. Shut yourself in. Shut the door on the negative and on the naysayers. Shut the door of doubt. How many know we've got to shut the door on the old way of thinking if we're going to ever experience the new thing that God wants to do in our lives? We have to stop saying yet 4 months. We have to stop saying one day or someday. We have to lift up our eyes and see the harvest is ready. Hallelujah. When a seed is in the ground, you know what the Bible says? The farmer rejoices. When the seed is in the ground, he has no fruit, he has no harvest, but when the seed is in the ground, he rejoices. Hallelujah. He rejoices because he knows that the harvest is going to come. Hallelujah. He doesn't wait until it comes up to rejoice. He rejoices when the seed is in the ground. Hallelujah. Now there's a very interesting scripture here in Proverbs chapter 13 verse 12. I want to read it to you. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Let me say that again. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You might have never even seen that verse. Hope deferred, hope is deferred when we constantly are saying 4 months. How many realize that? Hope is deferred when we say maybe one day. Hope is deferred when we say, well, I don't know if it's going to get any better. How many know what I'm talking about? Hope is deferred when we don't believe that God can do what He said He could do. Hope is deferred. God is going to do it one day. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred brings discouragement. How many realize that? It brings disappointment. It will cause you to lose your dreams, to lose your hope, and to lose your vision. And can I tell you something? People whose hope has been deferred are broken, hurting people. They're disappointed. You know what disappointment means, don't you? You thought you had an appointment and it was canceled or it was dismissed and now you're what? Disappointed. You ever been disappointed? We all have been disappointed. People whose hope is deferred are hurting. They feel that they are constantly reaching, but what they are reaching for is just out of their grasp, and it leaves them broken, it leaves them hurting. When things don't turn out the way they plan, people are hurting by that. How many realize that? Can I let you in on something? Things don't always turn out like you planned. But can I tell you something else? Some good news today? God always has a plan. They might not be your plans. But He has a plan, and He has a plan for your life. So when my hope is deferred, and it brings hurt, and it brings pain, you know what I do? I look to the one who can give me hope. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me read you the last part of that verse, though, in chapter 13. This is the good news. But desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Isn't that great? Hope deferred. brings discouragement, but hope that is fulfilled brings forth life. There's nothing more exciting, nothing more fun, nothing brings more joy, nothing brings more strength into life than like a dream being fulfilled. How many realize that today? When our dreams and our desires are fulfilled, you know what? We ought to celebrate. How many realize that? I don't care how small they may be. Amen. But when God does something in your life, you ought to celebrate that. Can you say amen? Oh, listen, we need to get excited. I don't care if you've gone fishing and the first fish you catch is only like 2 inches long. Amen. You know what I say? If they're big enough to bite my hook, they're big enough to go in my frying pan. Amen. I rejoice. I catch that one. You know why? Because I think, God, this is just the beginning. Hallelujah. The next cast I get, I'm going to catch a whale. Hallelujah. How many know what I'm talking about? We are to celebrate those kind of things. We are to celebrate our dreams. Oh, listen. If you get stopped for speeding by the police and they let you go, you are to celebrate. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that don't happen too often. I remember several years ago, I was driving and I was going down this road, and out of nowhere, this motorcycle cop, you know motorcycle cops, they don't play. You know what I'm talking about. He stepped out into that highway just like this. He pointed his finger at me and he went, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to jail. And he walks up to me. And man, he is that stone. He's got those riding boots. They're kind of intimidating. You know, they come way up here. And he's all dressed up. Walks up to the window and says, license and registration. And he is writing it all up and all that stuff. And he says, is this your address? And I went, I just moved. And I hadn't changed my address. You know, that's in fine on top of it. I don't know if y'all know that or not. And I said, I just moved over here, and I didn't want to say I was a minister. You know how that is. You say you're a minister, and a cop pulls you over, you get the lecture about how you're supposed to be example. You know what I'm talking about. So I said, I just moved over here. He says, well, what's your address? I said, I don't know. I said, but you can follow me to my house and I'll get it for you. And I said, I didn't want to say it, but I said it. I said, I pulled out of the church driveway and I said, I'm the new pastor of this church, and I was waiting for it. And he says, you're the pastor of the church? I said, yes, sir. That's okay. Gave my license back. And stupid me said, oh, no. I was speeding. I know I was speeding. You don't have to do that. Like he knew that he didn't have to do that. He said, no, just slow it down next time. And I said, sure, I mean, I understand. I mean, I was wrong. You can write me a ticket. He's looking at me like I've got three heads. He's like, are you for sure? You really want a ticket? And he let me go. Let me tell you, when I drove off, I was singing, I was shouting, I was dancing. How many know what I'm talking about? You've got to celebrate, hallelujah, when God does something good for you. Listen, when you go into Walmart, or you go into Winn-Dixie, or you go into Publix, and what you're looking for is BOGO, you are to dance in the aisle, amen, hallelujah, and celebrate what God has done for you. I'm telling you, we need to celebrate more, hallelujah. And the more you and I celebrate, we'll be delivered from this syndrome about saying one day, or 4 months, or maybe someday. God will set us up free at that. We ought to expect our desires to be fulfilled. How many realize that? As children of God, we need to believe that God wants to answer prayer. We need to expect that the answer is on its way. When you go fishing, you ought to come back expecting with fish in your hands. Amen? Y'all didn't get that. Amen? Every time I go to the golf course, I go expecting to make a hole in one. I'll never forget the day that I was standing on the tee box, par 3, and it was about 180 yards out there. Brother Hunt, I love this. I got up there. I hit a beautiful shot. It went right up in the air, beautiful. Came down, hit the green, skipped once or twice, and the ball was rolling right toward the pin, right toward the hole. You'll have to come back tonight to whether to get the rest of the story, okay? No, it hit and it rolled right past the pin, off the green, onto the other side, and I chipped and made a triple bogey. But every time I stand on that, it's just today's the day. Hallelujah. I see myself making it up here. And one day, Brother Hunt, one day. Oh, I'm telling you. Listen, what John 4:36 says is, he says, he that reaps receives wages. Let me say that again. He that reaps receives wages. When you and I look upon the field and they're white, ready unto harvest, I want you to know there is a harvest, and the Bible tells us that when we go reap, we receive wages. Listen to me this morning. You may have children that have broken your heart. Maybe they've gotten into drugs, or maybe they've gone the wrong way. You may have a husband that is not serving God, or a wife that's not serving God. Maybe you are living a life of worry and fear. Listen, when you pray, give it to God. Amen? And get a clear vision. Get a picture. Start seeing your children coming home where they're supposed to be. Amen? Start seeing your spouse serving God like they're supposed to be. Start looking with the eyes of faith. Don't look with the eyes. Look onto the field. Because why? They're white. They're ready unto harvest. Hallelujah. God wants to do something in our lives. But as long as we say yet 4 months, who knows how long it'll be until it becomes a reality. Hallelujah. We need to begin to rejoice even now. You say, but they're not born again. They're not saved. They're still living like some kind of crazy person. Oh, you know what you ought to do? Get in your prayer closet. And you need to lift up your hands and you need to say, God, I thank you that my child is born again. I see them serving you. I see them with lifted hands worshiping God. Hallelujah. How do you do that? You do it in your what? Imagination. You do it through your what? Eyes of faith. You do it by looking out of your heart. Amen. And what do you see? You see those things coming about. Abraham rejoiced, the Bible says. John 8:56. That your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jesus is saying, listen, Abraham looked for the day that I'd come. Talking about Jesus. He said, he was looking. And you know what he says? He says, and not only did he look for that day, he saw it. How could Abraham, who lived thousands of years before Jesus ever came, see Jesus' day? He did it through the eyes of faith. And you know what it says? He says, he saw it and was glad. In fact, he rejoiced. Abraham rejoiced because he saw the day of Christ. Abraham rejoiced as though the day was right then and right there. When we enter into the harvest, we ought to enter into the harvest as though it's already there. Amen. We need to go inside our imagination. Our imagination is the womb of creation. It's in my imagination that I dream, and my dreams take form, and I see them come about in my imagination. And in my dreams, we need to rejoice now in the dream. I believe that God wants to bless this church. How many believe that? You believe that? I believe that God wants to use Evangel Church of God to reach this city for Jesus Christ. If you could look into my head, it probably would scare you. How many know what I'm talking about? But you know what I see inside of my brain, in my mind, my heart? You know what I see? I see this church expanding. I see this church growing. I see people driving up. There's going to be a day, hallelujah, I'm believing in my heart, that you're going to have to come. You're not going to find a parking spot. Amen. They're going to be parking on the grass. You say, oh, Pastor Rick, that's... No, I see it here. You know, it might not be a reality today, but you know what? I told you, the facts can change. Amen? The facts can change. I'm believing it. I believe that God wants to use this church to reach the city. I believe that God wants to use this church to reach thousands of people for Jesus Christ. I see hundreds of young people coming and serving God and reaching other people. I see children coming from all walks of life finding Jesus. I am rejoicing today. Why? Even though it hasn't happened, I believe that God is going to bring it about. Amen. I can rejoice because I see it right here. I see it right here by the eyes of faith today. Hallelujah. Every time I drive out of this driveway, you know what I do? I claim that cow pasture out there, and I claim this empty out there. You say, my goodness, we already got 12 acres. Oh, let me tell you, That's too small. Let me realize that. You know, people say, oh, you're just interested in numbers. But you know what? You know why we number people? Because numbers count. Amen? Because people count. Amen? Hallelujah. Joshua verse 1, verse chapter 1, verse 1. This is what it says to Joshua. Arise and go this Jordan, thou, and all its people unto the land of which I will give them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. That have I given you. That word there, treading, that treading, that's the placing of the feet. How many realize that has to do with understanding? Everywhere you go, everywhere you put your foot down, amen, God's going to give that to you. That's what He said. Hallelujah. You know what I think we ought to do? I think every step we ought to take, we ought to take it in the name of Jesus. How many realize that? Amen. We ought to claim that for our church. We need to claim that for our lives. We need to claim that for our family. You know what? I think we ought to take pictures of our lost loved ones and put them in our shoe. And every time we take a step, you know what we're saying? I claim my children for Jesus Christ. You said wherever I put my foot, Lord, that you would give that to me. Hallelujah. I'm treading all my people. I'm taking hold of that. I'm believing that you're going to bring my... I know y'all think I'm crazy. Amen. And I am. I'll be honest with you. I'm crazy. I'm crazy enough just to believe that God will do what He said He would do. Amen. Hallelujah. We are on a trip. Hallelujah. I want God to do something great in this church. I see Him doing great things here. You know what we need to do? We need to let our imagination soar. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, but it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Ephesians 2 9 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, by the power that worketh in us. We're on a journey. You've heard me say it before, but I'm saying it again. We're on a journey from the impossible to the incredible. And I close with this, and I know I've gone a little over. If the flood in Noah's day was brought about because of the evil imagination and that their minds was constantly on evil, what do you think would happen if our hearts and our imagination was consecrated to God? Oh, there would be a flood, all right. It would be a flood of the Holy Spirit. It would be a flood of anointing. It would be a flood of the power of God that would fill this place. Are you hearing me today? Hallelujah. Oh, evil came because of an evil imagination. What would happen if our thoughts and our minds and our imagination was consecrated to God? Can I tell you something? I see this church as a cutting-edge church doing what God wants it to do. I see this church as being a church filled with prayer. I see this church being a church that is a loving church that reaches out to a world that is hurting and broken. Romans 8:23 says this, for we know that the whole world groans and travails in pain together until the strength and power, children of God, to rise with power and strength. Hallelujah. Where does that take place? It takes place in our imagination. It takes place in our thoughts. We need to claim, we need to reclaim our thinking. How many realize that? I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied with my thoughts. I'm not as satisfied with my imagination. God said they're too small. They're too small. Would you stand with me this morning? You say, Pastor Rick, what are you talking about this morning? You've preached all over the place. And what have you said? You know what I've said this morning? If you didn't get anything, get this. Amen. Quit looking at your circumstances and saying one day. Start looking at your circumstances and believing that they're coming about as though it happened today. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your power and your anointing that fills this place, God. I ask you, Lord, just to speak to the hearts of your people. I know there are men and women, O Lord, young people. I know there are people here this day, Lord, that have needs and they have concerns, O God, for their children, O Lord, and for their families, O God. And I pray, oh God, that you would open their minds and, Lord, that you would begin to help them to see, hallelujah, Father, as though that has already taken place. That they would celebrate the fact that, Lord, you have already done it. Father, even though we can't see it in the natural, by faith, through our imagination, oh God, Lord, we are looking, hallelujah, we see it done, and we're rejoicing in the name of Jesus. I don't know what you're battling this morning, but I know that God wants to open our heart and open our mind. He wants to release faith in you this morning to be able to see what cannot be seen this morning. If you're here this morning and you would say, Pastor Rick, I hear what you're saying. I've got needs and I want to be able to see. I want to be able to rejoice. I want to be able to celebrate. Would you slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me? Yes. Are there others? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hands going up all over this place. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands with me if you will. Heavenly Father, just breathe upon us today. Oh, Lord, let that Holy Spirit, Lord, just quicken us right now. Oh, Father, I pray, God, that you would just help us, Lord, to break free of that syndrome of saying yet 4 months, that we'll quit saying one day, I hope this happens. But, Father, I pray that we would say with confidence, I believe that I will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. And I'm rejoicing right now. Hallelujah. Even though I can't see it in the natural, I see it in the Spirit. My children are coming home. Hallelujah. I see this parking lot filled. I see this pews filled. Hallelujah. I see children, Father, coming to know you. Young people coming to know you. People coming to know you. Hallelujah. We're rejoicing even now in Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at me this way. How many believe it? Amen. I can't see it here, but oh, I can see it here. Amen. Hallelujah. How do I see it here? I see it through faith. Hallelujah. I see it through faith today. Praise God.